Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the truth of Your Word. We thank You for Your faithfulness in our lives day by day. And Father, we thank You that the Word of God is alive and powerful. We thank You that You are the teacher of the Word when the Word goes forth. And Father, You made that abundantly clear on my travels over these past couple of weeks in communicating the Word of God in a foreign country to a foreign culture where I had virtually nothing in common with these people other than the fact that we are born again, redeemed members of the family of God. And because of that, Father, I had everything in common with these people. And these dear brothers and sisters in Christ were such a blessing. And the Word of God that went forth did not return void and will continue to bear fruit according to Your good pleasure. So we thank You for the privilege and blessing of being used by You in such a way. We thank You for the financial grace gifts that made this entire thing possible. Father, I just thank You for the ministry of the Word of God and the material written by Drew Freeman that continues to bear fruit, material written by Ralph Braun that bears fruit, material written by R.B. Thiem that bears fruit. And Father, just the glorious way that You allowed for that Word to go forth. We pray tonight for Your hand to be upon this service, that the believers here in Austin would be encouraged by the things that they see and the things that they hear. And we thank You in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. If you are listening to this message on a cassette tape, or maybe you've downloaded the MP3 from our website, and all you have available is the audio message, then tonight may be a little different, a little uncomfortable for you, because I have 300 photos that we took in the Philippines, some 200 of which ended up in this slideshow. So if you're listening on tape, you do not have the advantage of the pictures to look at, and you'll just have to listen and imagine in your mind's eye what it is we're talking about as we put the pictures up on the screen. I traveled to any number of foreign countries in my military days. In fact, endured a 6-month separation from my fiance because of Desert Storm. And when I came back in 1990 from Desert Storm, or 1991 from Desert Storm, I was content to put all my traveling behind me. And I thought, that was it. I'm not leaving the boundaries of the United States ever again, at least until the rapture. But the Lord had other things in mind, and when this invitation came to travel to the Philippines, it immediately became a matter for prayer, to seek the Lord's will. Is this something He wanted me to do? And so forth. And I'm real thankful that the provision was made, that the obvious answer came in the way that it did, and that the trip was as much a blessing as it turned out to be. The primary mission was not evangelism, as many missionary trips are. We have missionaries on the ground there. They've been there for quite some time. Our mission was to go and help support their work. It was to help go and support, in reality, the fruit of what their work has been. Essentially, our mission was to teach the foundations material written by Village Ministries International. In fact, the books, we have a couple samples out here on the shelf that you're free to take with you. They're free, no cost, just take one. It's solid material. And our goal was to teach that material to pastors, to a pastor's conference in Lucena City. These are men that do not have the advantage of attending seminary. These are men that in many cases live in some pretty remote villages and islands and so forth. And yet, that's why this material was written. It was designed to give a seminary equivalent type training to men that couldn't otherwise attend such a seminary or obtain such training. And so it was our mission to do that. And so we did. We're getting that static, aren't we? All right. Didn't want to do this. But we'll do it if I have to. All right. This means I have this reporter thing going, and I feel like Phil Donahue or somebody. All right. The trip was sponsored by, at the invitation of Ralph LaRosa. Ralph and Cindy LaRosa have been in the Philippines since 1975. I think I have the year on that right. Nearly 30 years now. Ralph is a pastor that I was first, or a missionary that I was first introduced to, I believe, when I was 8 years old, and started to pray for Ralph and Cindy LaRosa at that time. And to be invited to go over there and speak in his church, speak with him and minister with him, was at that time a tremendous honor, and still in the last 2 weeks have been almost indescribable. Such is my appreciation and respect that I have for the LaRosas, and I imagine a lot of that will come out in the report here tonight.
Bob Thompson is the director of Village Ministries International. He was here just a couple months back and gave a report on their mission activity. And although Ralph is not associated with VMI, when he became familiar with VMI's foundations material and realized how profitable that would be to teach to the pastors that they have over there, this trip came about as kind of a joint effort between Ralph LaRosa and who ministers under the umbrella of Village Operation Grace World Missions, and then the VMI board that sent us over there. And actually, it was VMI that arranged for our tickets, arranged for the insurance, arranged for so many of the details that they took care of in order to get us over there. I participated, as well as Pastor Larry Hoffman of Westside Bible Church. Larry, I don't know if anyone here knows Larry or knows of him. He had pastored in Iowa for a number of years and then in Arizona prior to that. Larry and I actually have a tremendous amount in common, just about 20 years difference. Larry trained under Pastor Ralph Braun out in Brookings, Oregon. It was during his training days that he met his wife, Kathleen, and there are a number of things there that Larry and I have in common. It's just separated by about 20 years or so with respect to my training and how I met my wife and many of the things there. We found out, though, in the process, it's amazing what you find out in the process of all that travel, that you have so much in common. But Larry and I, there's a lot of pastors that you can say you have things in common just because you're pastors, but Larry and I have a lot in common because of like-mindedness in the Word of God and our approach to the Scriptures and our approach to shepherding a flock, and it was really a blessing to travel there with him. The secondary objectives you see on the board here, to encourage Ralph and Cindy LaRosa. Larry and I were really burdened to do that in every way imaginable. We also had an opportunity to speak at an independent Bible college. We did that on Monday of the second week we were there. We also had an opportunity to introduce the foundation's material to a second group of pastors on a neighboring island, the island of Mindoro, and I've got pictures of that to show you as well. They also took us up to visit a tribal village. They are the Mangyan tribe, a very primitive clan of tribal people in the Philippine Islands, and we did that on Tuesday of the second week while we were over there. And then on top of everything else, the grace upon grace extra blessings that we received was the day before we flew back out of Manila. We were privileged and blessed to be given a tour of Corregidor. We viewed the location there of one of the most famous battles in all of World War II in the Pacific Theater, and I've got pictures of that as well. And that was on top of everything else that had happened in the spiritual ministry of things for 2 weeks or 12 days. The tour of Corregidor was humbling beyond anything I can probably describe, and brought tears to your eyes and just a real sense of thankfulness for the freedoms we have in this country and the price that was paid to provide for those freedoms. The Philippines, I put a map up here. I don't know how well you're going to not see it well at all. The Philippines have over 7,000 islands in the chain. We were on the main island, the northern island of Luzon, which has a number of provinces. I can zoom in. That may show up a little bit better for you than the other one. Manila is the capital and is this bluish-gray area right here on the main island of Luzon. This is Manila Bay, just to the west of it. And to enter into Manila Bay is a very narrow channel where you have the Bataan Peninsula here to the north, the Cavite Peninsula here on the south, and you have to pass between those two in order to get into Manila Harbor, Manila Bay. And square in the middle of that gap, of that channel, is Corregidor Island. And that's where under MacArthur, where the American and Filipino forces had fortified, and the tremendous battle that occurred there to keep naval vessels from entering into Manila Harbor. I'll have more to say on that at the end of this slideshow as we have time. Most of the ministry, though, occurred down here in the province of Quezon. That's where Lucena City is located. Lucena City is the capital of the Quezon province, and that's where Lucena Bible Church is located, where Pastor LaRosa ministers. The Bible college we spoke at was up here in the province of Laguna, about halfway back to, or a third of the way back to Manila. We traveled also through the Batangas province. That's where we The port of Batangas is where we took the ship down here to Mindoro. This island down here south of Luzon is the island of Mindoro, and that's where we spent our second week, on the island of Mindoro. As far as the other islands go, the only other one I'll mention on this map is this one down here in the bottom right corner. It's called Masbate. It's, from what they tell me, it's somewhat near the actual geographic center of the Philippines. It is a ranching island. They raise cattle there, these different caribou-looking cows. We saw some of them, and our guides were showing us the different plants and different animals and different trees. And at one point, I saw these cows, and so I asked, I said, well, what do you call those? And she said, oh, those are cows. So I laughed. I said, okay, that's what we call them, too. And, but Masbate is an island that has a lot of cows, a lot of cattle, a lot of ranchers, and two of the pastors that I met at the pastors' conference were from that island, and they tried to talk to me about cattle raising because they knew I was a pastor coming from Texas. And so they figured, well, I'm a Texan, they raise cattle, and we must have had a lot in common. And I talked to them some, I didn't feel like breaking their hearts, but, I pastor in Texas, but that's not where I'm from, and I didn't know a whole lot about cattle raising, but we did have wonderful fellowship in the Lord, and that was a blessing as well. You'll see their picture. I made sure I had a close-up of them when I took a picture. We left out of here on Sunday, February 1st. I taught the two morning sessions here that day and then got to the airport in time to fly out to Los Angeles. I got there first, followed by Pastor Larry. Larry Hoffman arrived a little bit after I did, and that's when it really sank in. When I saw him walking into the terminal and he sat down, I thought, "Wow, we're really going to go." How about that? This is a real. I'm not just dreaming. We're going to get on a plane, and we did. The flight from LA by way of Taipei and Taiwan, it took 19 hours, crossed 8 time zones and the international dateline. So we didn't arrive until Tuesday morning. We left Sunday night, arrived on Tuesday morning. We never had a Monday the 9th. And that was kind of weird, but we made up for it by the fact that we had two Friday the 13th on the trip back, coming back across the international dateline the other direction. There was no Monday, February 2nd. We arrived about 11 a.m. on Tuesday morning in Manila. This was where they took us to stay in Lucena. It looked a little rough at first when we were pulling up. It looked like a great big warehouse-looking thing. This was the Greenview Hotel. Ralph LaRosa assured us, though, that once we got down the narrow alleyway and around the corner and into the actual place itself, it would be a much nicer location. And he was right. It just had it fronted a street and had some industrial areas nearby. There was a coconut factory across the street. There was another construction area across the alley and different things. So we weren't quite sure what we were getting into at first with these trucks parked out there in the dirt and all the rest. They took us down a narrow alley before you could get to the entrance, and this is a picture of that alley there next to a construction site, and my kids like this picture. It's kind of interesting. The words there in Filipino basically say, can I say this on a Wednesday night? They basically say, stop peeing on our fence. All right? And evidently, that's the third world. I mean, not many bathroom facilities around, and people just found a place. And this, evidently, the owners of this construction site were rather angry at their fence, and so they painted that on their sign. And Larry and I thought it was humorous enough to stand by it and take pictures. But this was on the way into our hotel. This was the actual gate. They had a pretty good secure arrangement if they ever chose to close that gate, but they never did because there was a constant flow of motorcycles in all night long, and the motorcycle drivers would show up and talk to the security guard and different things like that. But had they ever decided to close that gate, it would have been a pretty secure courtyard and a real nice way to keep that entrance closed up. This was the water tower on top of the hotel. You probably can't see it in the picture. There's a tiny little red bucket that hangs off the side of it, and that's attached to a rope, and that's how they could tell the water level in the tower. As the bucket went up, they knew that they had to restock their water tower in order to keep water flowing into the different rooms there in the hotel. And they gave us probably the nicest rooms in the place, the side-by-side rooms right there on the ground floor. These were our three gigglers that worked in that hotel, the head housekeeper, the head of security, and the cook. And we're not sure when they actually worked because they spent most of their time out there in the courtyard laughing and giggling and telling stories. And Larry and I were convinced that they spent most of their time talking about us. They also had these little hut, cabana-looking things out there that we thought were real neat, and we could hang out there and eat our meals, and we acted like we were studying, but we didn't really study out there. It was 100-something degrees and about 200% humidity, so we sat out there long enough to take some pictures and act like we were studying really hard, and then got back indoors pretty quick with respect to that. Tuesday was basically just an arrival day and a get-adjusted day. I don't think we did very well. Most of the trip, we were still waking up at 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning. I think I adjusted quicker than Larry did, to where I was getting pretty good night's sleep right there before we left to come back home and make those adjustments all over again. But that was pretty much all we did on Tuesday. Wednesday, we were brought to the church for the first time and got our first look at Lucina Bible Church. This is the courtyard out in front of the church, right on the main street right through town. In fact, that's why they have such reliable electricity and water and phone service and even a DSL internet connection of all things, because they're on the main highway right through town, and they're on the same street with the provincial capital and the mayor's office and the governor and all that. So they've got pretty reliable service there. That's a huge sign out front. Could imagine trying to apply to the city of Austin to get a sign that big. We would never get approved for anything like that. But it advertises the Lucina Bible Church, the elementary school that they have there, the training center, and in the top right corner, the Faith, Hope, and Love Kids Ranch that I'll talk about in the process of this as well. That's the main entrance going up. There's kind of two stairways going up, and then they turn and they meet up there in the middle. And Larry's up there at the middle where those stairways meet. That's where the main door is, but there's also two side doors down on those stairs when you get halfway up. There's another landing and two entrances down there as well. This is a view from that corner, pretty close to where Larry was just standing, looking across the bridge. You see little motorcycles going across there. There's about 85 million Filipinos and probably about 85 million motorcycles in that country. They're just these little 50cc, 80cc, just little motorbikes, and almost all of them have a sidecar attached to them, and between the motorbike and the sidecar, that's good for 6 or 7 passengers to pile on, and they just drive wherever you want to go. It's like your own personal taxi shuttle service. For 5 pesos, they'll take you anywhere, and they run all hours of the day, and it just never stops. When this church was originally put here, I guess not too many years ago, it was it was across the river. This river here formed the boundary between the city itself and then the outlying neighborhoods and so forth. And it was pretty remote, evidently, until they decided to build a shopping mall right across the river from from the church. So now you look out from the church and they have a brand new, modern, state-of-the-art shopping mall right there in downtown Lucina City. So pretty nice for pretty convenient for Ralph and Cindy now to have that mall right across. And also perfect for church recognition. Every cab driver, every motorcycle rider, when we said Lucina Bible Church, they knew right where it was. It's across the bridge from the mall. And it's the first building right across the bridge from the mall. So just a wonderful location there for the church. This is the least blurry picture I took of Ralph and Cindy LaRosa. I took several close-ups and I ended up getting almost everyone blurry. Ralph and Cindy have been there, like I said, since I think 1975. They've been to this church most recently in 96, so it's been about 8 years now, and they'll be back again. They're coming this year either in April or July, and as soon as I have a firm date, I'll let you know, because they're going to be speaking here on a Sunday morning. Ralph and Cindy LaRosa, just unbelievable in their grace, in their love, in their sacrificial love, in their ministry, in so many different ways. Not only the local church ministry, the training of pastors, the elementary school that they have there in their property, the deaf church that they host in their church, so many things that they have going on. It's really quite extraordinary to talk about them, and you'll be getting that full report the Sunday that they're here this spring. There are others that are on the staff there, including Pastor Homer and his family, and I forgot his wife's name and his son's name, but Homer was one of the first men that ever got saved in Ralph and Cindy's ministry, one of the first men that ever trained back in the 70s, and has been ministering with them all these years. He was a tremendous help in getting things done and a real encouragement for us while we were there. This is the Jeff Madumba family. Jeff is an amazing guy. He's on Ralph's staff. He is not a pastor. He has the gift of helps. And his wife has a very good paying job that allows for him to be a part of this ministry and to serve. Jeff does PowerPoint, he does email, he does video setups, he does everything. I mean, we couldn't find anything Jeff couldn't do. We kept trying to find something, and Jeff can do it all. He can drive one of those little motorcycles. He can do pretty much everything. And he's just a believer with a gift of helps. And he uses that gift for the glory of Jesus Christ, and just a tremendous believer. I was delighted to meet him, and his little girl there, Mia, is about 3 months old. I scared her to death the first time I said hi, and she cried, but I think she got used to me after that, maybe. But it's Jeff was a real neat example for me of just a believer that found ways that he could minister, found ways that he could help and be of service, and is now a full-time worker for Ralph in the Lucena Bible Church, is helping get anything done that needs to get done. This is another family there in the church. His name is Romeo. I don't know their last name, but he's the piano player. He plays the piano, the keyboard, you name it, he plays it. And his wife, Faye, is on the far left. She plays the guitar. That's their daughter, Ruth, who's 14, and their son, Romeo Jr., who's either 12 or 13 or thereabouts. They're all involved in the ministry there at Lucena Bible Church. And I just felt immediately like we were family, because my own brother-in-law is a Filipino named Romeo, and who plays the piano in church. And we just had so much in common, so I had to email, in fact, my brother-in-law Romeo, the Filipino piano player, and tell him about Romeo, the Filipino piano player. And we just had a lot in common real well. But a terrific family there that I enjoyed meeting. This is a lady named Joy and her children, who the oldest daughter there, Abigail, is an amazing story. 12 years old, and you talk about the gift of helps, and she just does so many different things. She helps lead the singing. She does some of the tambourine dances. She was on the, you'll see her in the picture for the translators that put the foundations material into Tagalog. And that's not just because she wanted to hang out and take a picture. This girl works and speaks amazing English, and just a real delight. And I just kept getting struck over and over again on this trip at how believers were finding ways to be of service. Not just the pastors, but all believers looking for ways that they could serve. And Abigail was a good example of that. Lemuel was the song leader. He's 23. He was 16 when Larry Hoffman's second trip over there. Lemuel here was the song leader back then when he was 16. And this is now 6 years after that. He's 23, leading the singing again. And he works with the teenagers, works with the youth group, does different things there. He was just every service he was there and in the middle of things, getting it all done. They actually had a trio that would help lead the singing. And that might be an idea we could try here. I don't know, but they sang so many of their songs where the men would sing one part and the women would sing another part, you know, and some of it was kind of like a sing and then a repeat echo type thing. And these three did a real good job. Lemuel would do the main song leading, and then the girls on either side would do the backups and the repeats and the echoes and the different women's parts and so forth. On the left, that's Ruth. That's the daughter of Romeo, the piano player. Something we learned over there was that there's always time for last-minute changes and last-second changes, and it actually helped me feel much better about all the last-second changes I do, because they were doing it all the time. And this is kind of a typical picture. There's Ralph LaRosa, and then Romeo is piano player, and Lemuel the song leader, and they were making the last-second changes to the service about 5 minutes before the service was supposed to start. This is downstairs in the church in Ralph and Cindy's apartment. They have an apartment in the basement of the church. And then there's Larry Hoffman and Jeff, likewise, with their laptops out, trying to make last-second changes before the ministry happened. And this is where we really just learned how to relax. We had all this planning, all this preparation, and then oftentimes we just said, okay, well, we'll make these last-second changes and just see what the Lord has. And wouldn't you know it, the Lord had much better plans than we did anyway. So when we learned how to relax and just teach whatever He wanted us to teach, it really it worked out a whole lot better. There ended up being 65 pastors from various islands. I think at one point we had thought there could be up to even 100, but we ended up with 65 pastors from the various islands that were assembled to attend this pastors' conference. Pastor Ralph LaRosa was extending these invitations, but another pastor that was extending the invitations was a native Filipino named Leo, Pastor Leo Ordiales, and you'll see his picture here in a moment. Leo was, again, one of the early men that was ever saved and brought up in Ralph's ministry back in the 70s. In fact, his wife was a part of that ministry first. That's where Leo met his wife and married her and ended up becoming a pastor at a later point of time. It was a Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday conference where we introduced the foundations material. And this conference encouraged these men that they do indeed have a spiritual gift, and therefore they are equipped to shepherd their flock. If they never get to a fancy school or seminary, it didn't matter, because they have a spiritual gift. They are equipped to feed their flock. And they have a gift. They have the divine resources. And the Lord was going to provide for them. He's going to give them the study tools. He's going to give them the encouragement. He's going to give them the direction. And that's what we were trying to do by introducing them to the foundations material. This is Pastor Leo. You're going to see a lot of pictures of him. He was not only present at the conference the first week, but he also went with us to Mindoro Island for the second week. And then he and his wife also joined us on Corregidor the last day there. So we saw Leo probably more than any other pastor other than Pastor Ralph La Rosa. We saw Leo more than anybody else. Leo and I have different things in common. In addition to being pastors, he has a daughter named Alethea. And I thought, well, isn't that something? You know, pretty uncommon name, but he was real excited when he saw the pictures of my family and found out that I had a daughter named Alethea. The Filipino pastors started to arrive, and I've got quite a number of shots of them, like I say, from the different islands where they come from, and their different styles and methods. I found that some of them talk real fast like I do, and others talk real slow, and everyone was different, but it was a real, real blessing. These two in front that you see right here were the cowboys. These were the ones from Masbate Island. They sat behind me every session. I was in the front row. They were in the second row back. And just neat guys. The one in the kind of the middle right here, his name is Bong, B-O-N-G. And I didn't have the heart to tell him what that meant in English, or if he told people in Austin his name was Bong, what kind of reaction he might get. But anyway, and the Filipino pronunciation is Bong anyways. It's a long O. But a neat guy. He loves the Lord and was so excited to get the foundations material. And all these guys were really. And that was the real delight. More pastors there in the front. His name was El Rey. He sat beside me every single session. He sat beside me at lunch. He kind of made it his purpose to be my personal welcoming committee. And in a lot of the Tagalog services, I was very thankful for that, because he sat next to me and kind of whispered and translated all the things that were being said in Tagalog. I was picking up the language pretty quick, but not quick enough to, you know, attend a Bible class and figure out what they were saying. So El Rey was a real assistance in getting these things translated for me. Other shots of the pastors there. A good shot of Larry headed for the back row. Larry liked to hang out in the back row. I always sat in the front, and he kept hanging out in the back, and we hardly ever sat next to each other the whole time. They loved to sing. They could sing and sing and sing. And it wasn't like they were going to sing for 2 hours and then teach for 5 minutes. If they sang for 2 hours, they were going to teach for 2 hours. But they were going to sing like you wouldn't believe prior to the teaching getting started. I had to take that picture when I saw the two of them standing next to each other. Ralph LaRosa is a little on the short side, you know, and that's just his physical stature, nothing against him personally. And if you know him, you know that he's not the tallest Italian in the world. But it just so happened he stood next to the tallest Filipino I've ever seen in my life. This guy is like 6'3". I didn't know that Filipinos could get so tall. His name is Danny. And when I saw Ralph standing next to Danny, I ran right over there. I said, I got to get a picture of that. And told him I was going to tell my congregation that this is Ralph LaRosa standing next to a typical Filipino, but Danny was anything but typical. Danny San Agustin was his name. He's late 30s, early 40s, I think. But 20 years ago, he came across a Ralph Braun categorical notebook and just started reading categories, started learning doctrine, started learning about the Word of God. And of course, has never been to the States, has never met Ralph. But he heard that name. He heard me mention Ralph. He heard Larry Hoffman mention Ralph. And by hearing that name, he was immediately excited that he could at least say a thank you. And so he came up to me and made me promise that at the next opportunity I have to make contact with Ralph Braun, that I would thank him for the categorical notebook. And I have no idea where he came across a categorical notebook in the Philippines, but he did, and credits the material in there with his deciding to become a pastor, and had a lot of thankfulness there that he wanted to express. A couple of the wives also made it. Her name, the one on the right, her name is Mercy. Mercy Togle. Her husband pastors. If I remember the story right, he ministers in a lot of the shanty towns, a lot of the tent cities and other slums and places. He goes in and ministers to the folks there. And then on the left, that is Elma Ordiales. That's Pastor Leo's wife. She went with us to Corregidor, and you'll see some more pictures of her later. Here's a man named Noel. And I told Noel on Sunday that he was going to see a picture of a man named Noel. I think it's pronounced Noel in Filipino. But anyway, Noel's not a pastor, but he is an evangelist. And he found a way that he could use his talents and his gifts and minister to children in particular, where he does the majority of his evangelism in public schools, playgrounds, shopping areas, city streets, different places. And what Noel does is Noel builds puppet shows. Noel builds puppets. He builds the booths. He writes scripts. And he does these puppet shows in towns and villages and places all over the Philippines. Not only does he do these himself, but he also designs them for other churches to do them. He has designed kits where he can train a church how to make puppets, how to make a booth. And if you're not comfortable giving the gospel, or you're not comfortable acting out the little skits and whatever, it's okay, because he has them all on CD. And so all you have to really do is just get into the booth and move the little puppets around while the CD's playing, because all the dialogue is recorded on the CD, the gospel message is there, it's all done on the CD. You just have to sit in a little puppet booth and move the puppets around and follow the script, because the scripts are already written out on CD. And so much of his efforts goes into actually performing the puppet shows in different places, and then much of his effort goes into traveling to local churches and training people how to make puppet shows, and how to give the gospel through puppet shows. So like I say, I kept coming over and over and over again to instances where believers are just finding ways to serve, finding ways they can use a gift and minister in whatever way they could. This particular puppet show was called, we saw two different ones. This one was called The Importance of Rice. And these two puppets here are looking at a plate of rice and talking about God's provision and the different things there. One of the puppet shows they did for us was in English. This particular one was in Tagalog. So I kind of caught the drift a little bit and trusted the Lord that the rest of it was edifying. Something else they had were these tambourine dancers that were worshiping in the process of the songs that the congregation was singing. And right out of Psalm 150, right out of the Old Testament, right out of Exodus and Exodus 14 with Miriam and the tambourine dancers when they crossed the Red Sea, it was amazing. I think I took about 10 different pictures to get the four good ones I've got, because they kept moving, you know. But then I found there was a speed setting on the camera, and that helped get some of these pictures taken. But the tambourine dancers were amazing. That's Ruth there in the front, who was the piano player's daughter and the assistant song leader. There's a couple more of them with Romeo playing the piano or the keyboard. This one here in front is actually their teacher in how to do the tambourine dances. That's that little girl, Abigail, again, the 12-year-old that's on the tambourine team and the song leader. And then there's Lemuel in the middle of all of it, leading the songs that we were singing as the tambourines were dancing. And I was amazed, you know. Maybe I've been too long in Bible churches or whatever. I don't know. I never seen a tambourine dance, and it was great. It glorified Jesus Christ, and it was edifying, and it was a real blessing. I was glad to see that. It wasn't all puppet shows and tambourine dances though. There were considerable teaching opportunities, and we taught, I think, well, formally and informally and speaking. I lost track of how many times we taught and we spoke in those 12 days, but quite a bit. This was to the pastor's conference, and then there was Larry in the pastor's conference. Not only did we teach the foundations material, we also did a walkthrough demonstration for them. You had a walkthrough the Bible, Old Testament evangelism, and that is a picture there of Larry walking through the land of Canaan and showing them about the land flowing with milk and honey and the things there. Boy, they really took on to that too. I think there's some Filipino pastors going to be doing the walkthrough here in the next couple of weeks. Then Larry's luggage finally arrived. I forgot to point that out. We got there on Tuesday. Larry's luggage didn't get there until Friday, which is why in a lot of these pictures he's wearing that same green shirt, because he was borrowing clothes from Ralph, and he was wearing Ralph's shirt and Ralph's pants and Ralph's underwear. It was awkward, but the luggage finally arrived. And not only was it good for Larry that he finally got his luggage, but many of the Foundation's textbooks that we were going to be giving to these pastors were lost in his luggage. I had one box in my luggage. Larry had two in his. And with my one box, we didn't have enough to give to all the pastors that were there. But once Larry's luggage arrived, we had enough to give to every pastor. And the Lord, in His perfect timing, brought those in 2 hours before these pastors were departing from the for their home islands and home villages and so forth. So with 2 hours to spare, the faith played itself out. This was the end of conference photo with the pastors there. They drew up this great big sign that said, "Thank you, VMI," and we took a bunch of pictures there and to send back to VMI and thanking them for the books that were donated and provided for them. These were the translators that worked to put the foundations of material from English into Tagalog. All members of Ralph's church there, including Pastor Homer and Lemuel, the music guy, Romeo and his family were involved. Joy was a big part of that, and her daughter, Abigail, and the other members that you see there. And then they threw Larry and I on the end just to be in the picture. We had no part of the translating whatsoever. That was all done in the weeks before we even got there. After the conference was over, they treated us to a night on an island, Friday night at South Waters. It's a little island resort nearby Lucena. Ralph and Cindy have a membership there in this posh country club type resort. I think it's like $10 a month, and they can afford to live in this posh, or not live, but go to this posh resort. So they put us on a boat. We were immediately in a relaxation mode as we got out there. That was one of the... It was the main area there with the dining room and the other areas. A lot of palm trees, a lot of grass. Larry caught a fish. It was so small and pathetic, he threw it back. We were just having fun fishing and talking. Then he tried to sleep, but I was too busy taking pictures. Then the next morning, out on the lawn, just a real enjoyable time, good dining area. This resort has a capacity to have about 300 guests at any one particular time. Larry and I were the only guests there that night, so we had the run of the place. It was pretty amazing. February is not the travel season for the Philippines, so we had the run of the place. If we needed to find the staff, they were easy enough to find. They were watching TV over there in the corner. So if we needed a clerk or a waiter or a security guy, they were all right there, easy to find. But they had a real nice pool, which I took advantage of the next morning with a nice swim, and tennis courts, which we didn't play tennis, and different things. On the boat ride back, this is the next morning, and saw one of the most amazing sights on this river. This boat makes about 20 laps a day on this river, and these guys are selling sand, is what they're really doing. They're going downriver, and they're digging up all this sand, and they're loading in this boat, taking it upriver where a road crew is buying the sand from them. And the picture may not show it very well, but that boat is about this far from the waterline, the edge of that boat. We're expecting the waves just to come crashing over the side of that boat any minute and sink the thing down, because they got that pile of sand in the middle. But that's a little bit closer view. They got just a pile of sand, and they're taking it up the river. They're going to sell it to a road crew, and they can lay it on the road they're building, and then they're going to go back with their boat and get some more. And that's what they're doing, about 20 laps a day, doing dirt deliveries or sand deliveries there on the water. Saturday was a pretty light day. We had a Tagalog service that we spoke at, and then we also spoke here and met these members of the deaf church. All of these are deaf students. The lady that teaches this group translates, does the sign language while we were teaching and while Ralph was teaching. And then for the first service, she would do that. And then when they had their own services, she was over here teaching them the Bible studies in sign language. Not only did they do a lot of sign language for their Bible studies, but do you ever use the text messaging feature of your cell phone? Most people don't. over here anyway, because it's so awkward and inconvenient. It takes too long to type out the messages, and with the voice messages, as cheap as they are anyway, it's just simple enough to call. Well, over there, the voice on a cell phone is very expensive, but they have unlimited texting. And so you'll get 20 text messages a day from people on from cell phone to cell phone, and they're just, the whole country of the Philippines is busy texting one another all day long. And these deaf students are masters at texting one another. And they can dial a text message faster than you and I could even think about, and they're texting each other back and forth, and it's just an amazing thing. Of course, they're deaf, they can't hear, but they can text and read and all these things. It's really amazing. But this church, the Lucina Deaf Christian Fellowship, has a whole wing there in the church that they make use of, and was really a blessing to meet some of these believers and just teach. We would teach and say a sentence, and then a translator would be translating it into Tagalog. And while that's going on, the lady's doing the sign language, and the students were following along, and it was really a blessing. Sunday we had the main services, and then we went to the market. We went to the market, and boy, were our eyes opened. I didn't ask how much that pig's head was going to go for, but it was hanging there on the hook, and it was for sale, and I didn't want to know. Also, next to the hot dogs there, those are chicken feet. I didn't know either how much those were going for. I didn't ask. I like chicken foot, but that's a game of dominoes that we play occasionally. We don't eat them, but they do. That was the Lucina market. Kind of a view of the Lucina street there with the fruit and vegetables and fish and things on the little side booths. Looking a couple different directions. You'll see a lot of those little motorcycles, a lot of the jeepneys. I'll get a better picture of a jeepney coming up in a little bit. The sign said New Prosperous Grocery. I'm not sure why it was new or what made it prosperous, but that's what the sign said. So this was our afternoon at the Lucina Market. Later in the afternoon, or actually a little bit that evening, we went out to tour a ranch, a kid's ranch. These are the directors of that ranch. They are Saling and his wife Lorraine. She's from New Mexico. They are building this, and it's in the progress of being built right now. When it's complete, they hope to have, I think, 50 orphans off the streets of the Philippines to house them there and to school. They're going to have a school on site, on the farm. Pretty ambitious program. And their offices are in Lucina Bible Church, and Ralph's really helping them out on the administrative side of things. But their ranch is and I thought Lucina was out in the boonies. Their ranch is out in the boonies even more, and it's a real neat ministry if you want to be praying for Sealing, like Sealing. It's not spelled that way, but that's how you say it, Sealing, and his wife, Lorraine, and running that kid's ranch. They have 3 children of their own, by the way, and then they're looking to adopt 50 more off the street. These orphans aren't most of them aren't even biologically orphaned. You know what I'm saying? Their parents aren't dead. Their parents are just can't pay them, can't pay for them, can't take care of them, just drop them, dump them, that kind of thing. A lot of poverty, a lot of kids that are left economically orphaned, if not biologically orphaned. On Monday of the second week, we went up to the Laguna province, just north of Quezon, and spoke at a Bible college there in the little village of Mahaihai. I thought it was Majajay, and when I said Majajay, everybody laughed at me. They thought that was Majajay was just a Texas way of saying it. It's really Mahaihai. We got to Mahaihai and got to speak at a Bible college there. Pastor Virgilio is a Filipino native. His wife Linda is an American. I think she's from Montana. She had a daughter that lived in Bastrop for a few years, so she was very familiar with the Austin area, with Central Texas. But they were the administrators of the school. Mahaihai was up near a mountain called Mount Banahaw, and was up in a pretty high elevation, and that's a rice paddy across the road there, and palm trees. That's the main highway through Mahaihai. It's a pretty narrow road in a pretty remote village up there. The Asia Center for Biblical Studies is the name. There's another shot of the rice paddies and the different fields. It's a pretty remote school. That's the front of it. That's a bridge going across to the library up above on the second floor, and then some other offices and rooms down below. Basically, the whole school is built on a huge hilltop. Everything's either uphill or downhill on the school, and they have different buildings at different levels and different areas there that they live in and work in and have their classes in. They pay 500 pesos a year, the students do, to attend this school. It's a 3-year school. 500 pesos is a little less than $10 U.S. So they get their whole 3-year Bible college education for about $30. But in addition to their annual tuition, they have to work on the school grounds, which includes the fish ponds that they have there, raising the falapan little fish that they raise. They also have chickens and roosters. This is the world's loudest rooster that you could hear miles and miles away. I was proud of him. I had to take his picture. This is headed in towards the pig pens where they raise the pigs and they raise the hogs, the sows that are there. And, of course, taking care of all these animals, that's part of their tuition, part of living in the country where they live and going to school. This is a tank where the pig manure goes. Do you know what this is for? See, I'm such a city boy. Some of you, Terry's laughing at me. She grew up on a farm. This tank actually allows for the manure to heat up and ferment and mint, and actually it traps the methane gas. And they produce their own methane gas, and it burns very cleanly, and all of the cooking that occurs on this school ground is all the cooking is done by the methane gas that is produced by the pigs that they raise. So, deacons that think we have interesting setups around here, we're not heating the building with methane gas raised by the pigs that we have out back. We did some teaching here as well. We introduced the foundations material. I taught, Larry taught, Ralph spoke and introduced the foundations material. They have about 30 students, I believe, 25 men, 5 women. And these are the directors here. That's Pastor Virgilio and his wife, Linda. That's in their kitchen. We got there pretty early, and she had breakfast for us, and then we went in and spoke at the school. These are a couple of the pastors there, and that little hut behind them was one of their study halls, one of their study areas. There's a few more of the students. And I think that's all 5 of the female students there, plus the teacher. This is in the library, and they don't have a whole lot on their shelves, and what they do have, they keep locked up. And this is going on into the chapel. And there's Ralph introducing the foundations book for them there. And we didn't have enough to leave them, but we got names of every student there in the school, and Drew Freeman is shipping over foundations books to these Bible students. This is a man named Harley. He lives in Chicago, except during January and February, which are good months to not be in Chicago. He goes to the Philippines, and he has, I guess, 8 years in a row now gone to this school and done work. He's a carpenter. Kind of on the right little corner there, you see a cabinet that he's building. He's building a cabinet, putting doors on it, just doing other handyman-type things, and that's one of the students that he's there with. Just another believer that found a way he can serve and goes to the Philippines for 2 months a year and does some carpentry work for him there. The Jacintos adopted these 2 orphan girls, twin girls. Ellen is the one on the right. I forget the girl on the left. And they were a lot of fun. I scared them at first. I scared the one on the left at first. The one on the right, though, just ran right up to me and grabbed me and had me pull her up, and I held her for quite a bit. Once I had her picked up, she wouldn't let me put her back down. And I call her the video monster. She has a Disney video there in her hand. I think it's Disney. Some kind of spirit video, and she also had VeggieTale videos and all kinds. She was very American, at least in her video appreciation, and she was real excited over the VeggieTale video and that I had the same name that the tomato had, and she could even say Bob, you know, and she had a good time. She was something else. We left the Bible college and headed off to our second island, the island of Mindoro, and we were waiting on the dock here where we had our lunch and waited for the boat to arrive. Took a few pictures. That's Pastor Leo on the left, Ralph LaRosa, Larry's in the middle, then me, and then Saling, the director and builder of the orphanage that I was telling you about. And we were the 5 that went to the second island for the second week onto Mindoro. And that was our boat for the hour and a half cruise to Mindoro. It was bouncy, wet, and fun. It was pretty neat. They had these little pontoons on the left and the right that kept it from tipping over, you know, and we got to rocking pretty good. And we had a lot of luggage with us, but fortunately the porters did real good at walking up and down the gangplank carrying our suitcases and stuff. I wouldn't have tried it, but they did it and got all our luggage down there, and we got on there. And that was the boat that we had to Mindoro. They would even walk. Some of these guys would even walk on those little rails outside the boat while we were sailing to get to the front or get to the back and handle the things they had to handle, dropping tarps and stuff like that on the boat. It was a lot of fun. I think before we returned back off of Mindoro, I sent Sharon a text message, it wouldn't have been an email. It would have been a text message on the cell phone. I said, "We're leaving Mindoro in the morning. Please pray." I didn't tell her what boat we were on or what the seas were like because it was windy and raining and we knew the seas were going to be waving and all we could think of was this boat on the return trip. It turned out we were in a much more modern boat on the return trip. This was just for the trip south. A couple shots of the islands as we went. We got to Puerto Galera on the island of Mindoro and they put us up on a beach called the GM Resort in Puerto Galera. Again, it wasn't the tourist season. We had pretty much the run of the place to ourselves. The palm trees, the beach, the sand, the water. It was pretty interesting. They packed all of these houses down in a very narrow area. All these resort, hotel houses. Very narrow area between the water and the cliffs. I mean, right behind the resort were these huge mountains that just jumped up out of nowhere. And you had a very small section of beach. And that was that's where we were. She was, her name was Lucy. She was the owner of the resort, and that's her husband. He was, I don't think he was mayor. He was some kind of city councilman in the town there. It's the most important people in the region. Real delight to talk to. Born again believers in Jesus Christ, and they just rolled out the red carpet for us. This was our briefing Monday night, kind of relaxing from the boat trip we survived, and, telling us about what tomorrow was going to have in store as we, prepared for the next week's worth of ministry. On Tuesday, February 10th, we got in a jeepney, which you'll see a better picture of here in a moment, a 3-hour ride in this bouncing thing and went on to a city called St. Theodore or San Teodoro. We're in the back of this jeepney bouncing along, talking about where we're going. Passed by a beautiful waterfall called Tamara Falls, which I think I made that my wallpaper at one point. That was a jeepney. That's what we rode in for 3 hours, which is basically a driver's seat and then two benches behind the driver's seat. You got a driver's seat, a passenger seat, and then two long benches going back. And that's what we rode in. Besides the motorcycles, I think the jeepney is the most common vehicle in the Philippines. They're actually manufactured there. They get used Japanese engines, and they put them in these things that they build there, and that's primary transportation. When you get to where you want to stop, you just bang on the metal roof, and the bus driver stops. That's the signal for, I want to get off now. So that was the jeepney that we rode in for the 3 hours up and 3 hours back on Tuesday next to Tamara Falls. They tell me that a tamara is actually one of their names for a kind of a caribou-type bison. But we never saw one go over the falls. I couldn't figure out why it was called Tamara Falls, and I never saw one go over. But anyway, on the San Teodoro, and here's the Bible church. This was a little village. This was a little church. And this is pretty typical of this man here actually had been to Lucena the week before. And so we had the chance to get to follow up in his church, got a chance to follow up with the ministry here, got to speak in this church. And every Filipino church has drums. They have keyboard, guitar. They love their music. And so we got to speak there. Larry was starting to get sick at that point, so I did all the teaching, I think, at that church. He just kind of waved and said hi. The different church members there. Larry gave his hat to that girl and took a picture, but she was too embarrassed, so he got his hat back. These were the neighboring houses in the town. That's the outhouse for the town, for the houses around. That was a little boy with two sticks. He was a little ninja fighter that was fighting every tree in the place, and he's stabbing the tree there, and has Popeye in his shirt, and I just thought he was cute, so I took a picture of him. I also liked the kid with the Spider-Man shirt. A lot of these real neat people to get to meet. After we were done teaching, they made a feast. They had a pile of rice and some chicken and food for us, and they had a real delightful feast. That was their kitchen. All eating the rice lunch after we were done teaching. That's Pastor Ben and his son. I never did learn the son's name, but that's Pastor Ben. He's the pastor of the church and the head cook, I think, in the little kitchen there. He was working on cooking the food for us. I am out of time. Where is the rest of this going to go? Back into a jeepney where we were serenaded with all the music that these kids could bring up. These three girls and the one boy that was playing the guitar, they were a real blessing. That was their dad. There wasn't enough room. We ran out of seats, so he was kind of standing there in the doorway at the back of the jeepney, and his Yankee hat fell off about three different times. So every time it'd fall off, we'd bang on the roof, and he'd jump out and go get his hat back, and it was quite an adventure. The Mangyan tribal village that we hiked up to, up in the mountains, that was a hike. I fell about seven times up and down the mountain, and we went up here and visited these people in their shelters. Pastor Ben cut some coconuts off the tree for us, and so we learned how to drink coconut juice straight from the coconut. And pretty good, actually. And that's the, I think that's the chief's hut. That's the chief standing between Ralph and Larry. And the lady there with her child. Different shots of the jungle around there. Jeff took that picture of me. He thought I looked lost, so he said, "You need a picture." And then we gathered around and in a big circle and talking to the villagers. This was a chain. Larry was speaking in English. Leo translated into Tagalog. The man next to Leo translated from Tagalog to the tribal dialect, which was called something else. Anoa O'o, I think, something like that. And then the chief would hear in his own tribal language, and then he would say something back. And it just went in that chain from four people, and then back, and then there, and then back. And the Bible class, or not really a Bible class, but the message of the gospel that we had took about an hour to say, maybe, you know, five sentences, because it had to go through four translations each way, back and forth. And so it was a lot of fun. That's a basketball hoop on top of a mountain. They love, in addition to singing, they got this thing for basketball, and it was amazing. That's just to the right, and that one's just to the left. So if you missed a shot, it was going into the jungle. I mean, it was going downhill a good, 300 yards, and then you'd be hunting for it through the palm trees and ferns and everything else. That was something else. Anyway, I'm out of time. Do these other things. We went to another town in Socorro, met another pastor and his wife. That was their Sunday school. That was their church. The space there under the tarp in between those two buildings, that's their church. They have one room inside that building on the left for their Sunday school, but the church is there in between the two buildings under a tarp. There were some of the pastors that started to assemble. Out back, they were cooking lunch. The pastors were doing the cooking. I thought that was kind of neat. And then Pastor Benny and the folks that we met there in Socorro. This was our more modern boat on the way back. They actually showed us a video of how to put on your life jacket, which was fine, but I really wanted that video on the other boat. That was the one I thought I needed the life jacket for. And then Thursday was back to Manila. Our view from the 11th floor looking down at the swimming pool. Pastor Leo and Elma, and our trip to Corregidor. But I'm out of time. So, in any event, the whole experience was amazing. Beyond simply the travel and the sights, it was the nature of the Word of God as it was taught. The nature of the fellowship with pastors that, the day before were total strangers, but the day after the conference was over, there was just such an intimacy and friendship and rapport and like-mindedness. It's an amazing thing. And I don't know why, because being in Christ, we should understand how this works, that we are in Christ, we are family, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And the amazing encouragement of it was exactly that. So, any questions, anything before we dismiss here for tonight? I had no idea. I still got probably 30 more slides of Corregidor, but We'll let that go. Noel, did you have a question? The tambourine dances? Well, I don't know. I was afraid to suggest that because if the ladies, if I suggested the idea of ladies doing tambourine dances, then they might suggest the idea of pastors doing the cooking, and that, I don't know if you want to risk my cooking or not. Did you have a question there, Doug? They have a lot of, yeah, egg roll type things that were stuffed with pork and stuffed with fish and different things. I don't remember what they called them. We ate a lot of them. We did a lot of eating while we were there. But I don't remember. Subic Bay, by the way, is no longer there. Well, I mean, the bay is there. But the Navy base that we maintained is no longer there. That has been handed over to the Filipinos now at this point. We no longer have a bay. Yes, ma'am. What's the name of what? I didn't hear you. Oh, the main religion? Most of the Philippines are Roman Catholic. After the Spanish discovered the Philippines and colonized it, it had been Muslim prior to that. And for the 300 years of Spanish influence, the church was Roman Catholic. I think to this day it's 90% Roman Catholic. It's 5% Muslim and 5% Protestant. So there's plenty of fertile ground there for Bible churches and the teaching of the Word. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. I think they do. Yeah, they have a huge tourist ministry, and from the beach resort too. They're just trying to survive through the off season and where they really make their money. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll save. We're going to get this on the website where you can just kind of browse these pictures and see Corregidor and see the other things there. Oh, that was a female Buddha, by the way, a Japanese statue on Corregidor with her three babies. Anyway, we'll get these on the website, and we'll get a chance to look at those two on the church website. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the privilege of being a part of this trip and the ministry in encouraging pastors, the ministry in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, the ministry of teaching the word of God. And regardless of what earthly language is spoken, the Word of God is alive and powerful, and it goes forth and it does not return void. I do thank you for Ralph and Cindy LaRosa for their faithfulness there, and we look forward to having them and hosting them here in Austin and visiting with them and getting that good, encouraging report from them here. Thank you again for the provision to make this trip. Thank you for the time spent with Pastor Larry Hoffman, and just for the abundant blessings that you supplied and continue to supply as the fragrance of these memories endures. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.